could never.
Amen. We can never, never outlove our Lord. Amen. What a great love that has been expressed on our behalf. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. We certainly want to welcome everyone in the house of God tonight. We really appreciate everyone being here. And we gather tonight. We want to have the Lord's Supper. So we just want to use up all the time that we could. We have a few prayer requests and a dedication. Maybe we could just sing that chorus again as we ask the parents to bring the child. But Sister Hector would like to dedicate their baby boy, Job Solomon, unto the Lord. Amen. I want to live. Let's just sing that one more time.
I want to live the way.
I want to give
until yes, just two more to give. I want to love,
oh, from the depths of our hearts, mean it.
I could never love my Lord.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. In all these things, we see your love, Father. Lord, as we stand here in your presence tonight, taking us a little time for dedication, our brother Anselm, his wife, Sister Patricia. Lord, just thinking about them and remembering, Lord, that many years ago when they came out of the world to accept you, they came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for them. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And to know, Lord, it was an end to the days of darkness. Our brother, Lord, caught up in the revolution and all these things, trying to change the system. Lord, our sister out there also. But Lord, you have brought them to the real purpose that you have sent them on the earth for. Down through these years, they have come many struggles, many hard times. Even to stand tonight, Lord, no doubt thankful in their hearts for your grace and your mercy. Because had it been, Lord, your justice, just like any of us, Lord, they would not have been able to stand. But grace had provided a propitiation. Grace provided a way they could come and take a true stand, Father. Not depending on their own righteousness, but on the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, they stand here tonight, and our sister holding a little boy. First man child to come forth from the womb, Lord. Had girls before and always desired to have a boy, and you gave them the desire of their heart. But Lord, coming in a time of such struggles and hardships, you put it in their hearts to call the boy Job. Lord, remember the Bible that you had such great confidence in Job. You told Satan, do him what he wants. take his health, take his family, take his goods, whatever. Don't touch his life. He was fully persuaded he was going to stand true to your word. Regardless of what the test was, regardless of the conditions, regardless, Lord, of all the criticisms, Lord, and the accusations and all these things, he stood there. He knew that God loved him. He had a perfect revelation. He knew he was justified. He had faith in that burnt sacrifice. It's a great thing, Father, when we think of it, how you work in the lives of believers. Even Job saw the greatest vision of all. He had the vision of Easter, the resurrection. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Not I suppose, I wonder, but I know. I pray, Lord, that this would be the vision and this would be the faith. Lord, I would strike our brother and his wife in this hour. The rise of the ash heap, Lord. The real conviction, real vision, real purpose. Stand true to every word you have spoken. Remember the great grace and mercy that you have extended to them. In this hour, they could be part of the great exodus, part of the great ransom church, being made ready, Lord, to be taken out of this earth. Lord, may you bless them, Father. May you strengthen them in this hour. May there be a great deliverance in their lives, I pray. They are part of us, Lord. They've been identified with us on your word. May you hear my prayer tonight for my brother and my sister. The little boy that you're blessing with as they come to dedicate him tonight, Job, Solomon, Almighty God, may you receive this little boy now as we offer him up to you for a life of service, asking that your great, holy, and precious blessings would rest upon him. You'd grant him health and strength. You'd protect him from all harm and all danger. By faith, we place him under the blood of Jesus Christ, where we know he'll be safe and secure. And Lord, may you grant them all I will take as parents to raise him up and care for him, Lord. Lord, train up in the way that he will go. No, when he get old, he will depart from it. I dedicate him now unto you for a life of service. Little Job, Solomon, Hector, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your honor and for your glory, amen. Just want to remember this week, prayer request also. Prayer requested for Brother Nelson Nightingale's friend David DeFreitas, who is addicted with cocaine. Also requesting salvation of his soul. Father, we are taught in the Bible that your love is so great. You left the heights of heaven, where it's worshipped and adored by angels, and you came down to the lowest hell. Lord, you went to the lowest city, the shortest man had to look down upon you. You humbled yourself, Lord, became obedient to the word. We might have a perfect deliverance, a total deliverance. We might have, Lord, an eternal security. You became sin, but we can become the righteousness of God. When we think of that love, when we think, Lord, you will leave the 99 and go to the last, look for that last sheep down that ditch, then it's not hard, Father, to stand and ask for your grace to be extended to one that would be in need, that would be in torment, would be in despair, in perplexity, crying out for deliverance. But Lord, we even remember our own experiences where you took us from. Dark pit of hell, of drugs, insanity, Lord, but your hand was not too short that you could not save. Neither was your head deaf that you couldn't hear. With a mighty arm of deliverance, you brought us out of the miry clay. You set our feet on the rock to stay, and you put a song in our soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. So I pray for this young man, I don't know him, Father, but the request has come forth, and it just makes us remember our condition. Many of us here tonight, that same kind of condition. Lord, we just ask that the grace and mercy of Almighty God would go forth in the wings of a dove tonight. Find a young man in that condition, Lord, and open his prison doors and loose his chains. Bring him out of that captivity. Come out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light and show forth your praises. He said, we are people who were not a people and now become the people of God. We who did not know mercy have obtained mercy. Won't you let it be applied to him tonight? We ask for his grace and his mercy for one in need tonight, Father. He would come to know you, whom to know his life eternal. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there be any here standing in the need of prayer. Thou great, omnipotent, omniscient God, who knows every need even before we could ask, I pray that your grace that is all sufficient tonight would give that need, would meet that need tonight in every life, in every believing heart that be reaching out to you even now. And Lord, prepare our hearts to come to your table tonight. Speak to us. And may faith come by hearing, hearing by your word. And if there be one that don't know you here tonight, we pray that this will be the night, Father. A true vision of Calvary would break forth. For we know when man wanted to see you, you point them to the cross. Except a corner of it fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. You never point them to your birth, you never point to where you're baptized, you never point to the great miracles that you did, but you point to them to the cross. Where you died, where you bridged heaven and hell, where you stood as a dazed man holding a sinful man and a holy God and bring them together. One mediator between God and man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that vision strike that soul tonight. And may they see that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. As soon as plunged beneath that flood, will lose all their guilty stains. Grant it tonight, Father, we ask, and we commit ourselves in the service of your hands. For we pray and believe and receive what we ask for. For we ask it in the precious, almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We know the praise is Deborah Thomas. We'd like to give God praise and thanks for providing her with a new home and a job. Praise God, I tell you, in these times, if God can provide a home and a job, he surely have to be Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Amen. You need a home and a job tonight? Amen. Not just one here, but one on the other side too? Amen. He that would forsake everything and follow me, amen, will not only have things in this life, but in that life to come also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So we certainly happy to be here in the house of God. We just kind of speak a little bit and prepare our hearts, just feel a little atmosphere before we come to the table. I've been told, you know, they have no more grapes and these things, and you can hardly even get to buy. We was in a little predicament recently. They were selling the kind of merchants alone, and you had to be able to buy so much boxes of apples to get the grapes to make the wine. And, you know, right now they're out of grapes, so we're on the last portion of wine. And, you know, Brother Willie was telling me, he says, normally we have 7 bottles, but we only have 5 tonight. So I say, you pray, because I remember the Bible when Jesus come, you know, and he says, he said, have you anything to feed the people? And they say, well, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they was all flustered, looking for money to buy, and you know, one of the treasury had, and the Bible said, you only asked to see what they would do. I said, Lord, the same kind of people, believe in the same kind of message, the same kind of hour, and you're still great as you ever was. Amen. More than able, if you make water, wine, a wedding feast for some people, how much more to remember him tonight? For his very service tonight. Amen. So that's a, I want to just maybe speak a little bit. So I just want to take a little scripture out of maybe 2 Timothy. I could read first. Chapter 1. Let's maybe talk a little bit and prepare our hearts. We're going to come to the table tonight. Getting ready to leave in a little while and going to have some meetings in British Columbia, but Abiscal. They arranged meetings and they called me up some weeks ago and everything's all ready and supposed to be 5 meetings. And you know, they look for that every year. So I suppose we'll be leaving in about 2 weeks' time. So this time coming back, I've been like just getting together with the people. I've been trying to meet with them on Mondays and Tuesdays and then preaching little family services for you and teaching on Wednesday nights and then Thursday nights and then Sunday morning. And Sunday morning I really went through, you know, a time here because the place was so overcrowded and the building was so hot and there was so much of this. From the time one person moving the building, everybody going like that. And you know, from the time one person coming and maybe to find a seat, everybody going like that. And I says, my, you know, I can't continue like this and maybe I'll have to kind of divide up the service instead of trying to preach to so much people at one time in a little space like this. And maybe have 2 services, one in the morning for some people in South, and then come in the evening and preach up here for those up here on Sunday evening for those living in North. I do not think about it because it's difficult when you have to come in a meeting and you can't get the minds of the people. The building is too hot, the place is too overcrowded. We have people wall to wall, that room is full. People all alongside of the building there, and people all in the back, and problem, people all along the side, and it's just impossible to do it. And the place is hardly any ventilation, you know, and you're only being cooked inside of here, and you can preach for so long. That's why I've been trying to just preach short on Sundays. When my time happens to, I try to close up the service, regardless of whether I finish the message or not, because the holy people in that kind of condition is almost like a punishment. You know, and then mother's trying to hold little children together, and it's just a situation. I don't know what you're going to do. That's why I said try to get under the burden of getting the place, because we still about halfway, and we only think about getting the land, and then we don't know how to do it. And I'm only human, and we all are only human. We only can try what we do. Sometimes, you know, I say the person with a comfortable seat who comes to a seat, they don't feel nothing really that much. Person who's sitting right under the fan or right in the corner, who in the right strategic place, they don't feel that much. Or the person who is close to a fan. Or the person who has to stand up and get, you know, it's different, you see. So we have to really think about everybody, you know. And sometimes, you know, you don't think about everybody, but then we have to think about everybody because they don't complain to you, they complain to us many times. And that's the way it is. So may God help us in times like this when we just don't know what to do and how to do it, and we want to do it that we can keep the effect, because the important thing is to keep the effect of the word in the hearts of the people, that the people could be prepared. See what I mean? So, in the midst of that, then in the back, half the time you feel the church going sweet and nice, but you don't hear nothing. But in the back, there in the office, in the room, where you have to bring the word, have to be there with the people. And then you have to come in the pulpit and just blank that out your mind and then start to preach now. Those, yeah, keep them in a certain atmosphere and something else. Then if all those things must be brought upon you now, then half of you to be so discouraged, half of you to be so wanting, then you see, that's why it's in a church many times, one have to take the load, one have to be a shield. See, when God delivers him, say, I'm your shield, I'm your exceeding great reward, take that, take. Abraham says, my wife stands between me in the public, but I stand between you and the problems. See? So may God help us that we can really be made ready in this hour, because we really want to be. We don't want one hope to be left back by the grace of God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a strong mind. I like that. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Brother, this thing was settled so long ago. You only walk in discovering it now. Never have to be frustrated about. That's why all you need is just a revelation. Because you can't change God's mind. God will change his mind about his word. It's settled. But it's now made manifest. Notice that the grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished it. His work on the cross, and had brought life that the world didn't have when they forfeited in the Garden of Eden, that title into eternal life, fellowship with God, and power over the earth. When they forfeited that, and there was now across the chasm, so he couldn't come back. How only had an animal sacrifice. But through his appearing, that grace began to unfold. And it brought life and immortality. When all man knew, when the first man come out of the womb of a woman, came out dying. First man spoke and came out from the thoughts of God and from out of the earth. Came forth to eternal life. But the first man came out of the womb of a woman, came forth dying. But here, immortality, a man who was in flesh, who was tired, who was hungry when he cursed the tree, who was weary when he was sleeping in the boat, who held his head when he bore infirmities. After that, I felt virtue left me when a woman drew virtue from him. They saw that same man walk through the wall and say, handle me. They saw that man appear and disappear in the resurrection. Something strike them. I mean, they could come like that one of these days. That's what he come for? Amen. We wave before them in that resurrection. But immortality and life through the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? He is risen. He's not dead. He rose for your justification. Unto which I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know, like Job, amen. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able, like the Hebrew boys, amen, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He gave his testimony in short, and then he turned back to Timothy again and says, hold fast your former sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. May the Lord have his blessing with us, which may have his seat. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible again to 1 Peter. Grace, grace. I'm preaching more grace these last few days, and I come back with more grace. The grace of God. Amen. Marvelous grace. Amazing grace. Amen. What will be seen on the other side? Redemption. Grace is the only going to save you. Grace is the only going to take you through. Grace is going to bring you to Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Amen. The grace of God. There would not be one person in this age going to rapture who would have a revelation of the grace of God. Amen. The only people who are going to rapture is who have heard the capstone came with shoutings of grace, grace. Who lies have been kept by that great capstone of grace. Yeah. The only people that's going up. To have rapture in faith, you need a revelation of grace. He says, sirs, could it be that those seven thunders
We're going to cap the pyramid. That headstone is going to come. Amen. And going to come and shout in the grace. That headstone is going to come to cap the pyramid. Is that the mission of the headstone that going to reveal those seven thunders? Is that those things coming? Amen. Amen. Was. That was all about. Amen. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Follow with me as we read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me say it in this day. That is not past, that is present tense. He is risen in this day. In the Sunday, in the borrow after the Sabbath, the Son of Man was revealed. Amen. A resurrection of the dark denominationalism, the sheaf was waved. And you only are born again to a lively hope if you're born by that revelation of the Son of Man. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, revelation, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. I rejoice in this tonight. Rejoice in the truth. Don't rejoice in iniquity. Rejoice in the truth. Amen. That grace that it be revealed in this last time. Don't know for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness to manifold trials. Manifold temptation, manifold trials. Many trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the trial of your faith being much more precious. Trial of your revelation. Tried by the word of the Lord. Amen. It's more precious than of gold that perisheth. Don't be tried with fire. Abraham's seed standing the test in time. Amen. Before the promise, you see. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That word there in verse 7, the appearing in the Greek, is a Greek word meaning apocalypse. Yeah. At the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It's called appearing here. It says at the appearing. Whom having not seen, yet you love. Yes. Amen. In whom though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with John, speaking of him full of glory, yes, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They inquired of it. They prophesied of it. Of the grace that was coming. Who was that grace? That woman's seed in the Garden of Eden. That was going to come to bruise the serpent head. That was the headstone of grace himself. That was grace personified. Every prophet prophesied he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Amen. Who prophesied the grace that should come unto you? Now notice in 2 Timothy 1, it said that grace was given us in Christ before the world began, but has been made manifest. But now Peter is talking about it will be brought unto you. Future again now. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. At the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The unveiling. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory? Is that what he told him in the Old Timaeus? He took the law and his hand and the prophets. All God, the whole book had spoke of the lamb and the lion, the cross and the crown, the suffering and the glory. But he had to suffer first and then enter into his glory. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And that don't mean like angels with wings up there. That is the messengers, the same prophets who was bringing the word. They desire to know them things. They kept searching, inquiring of the Spirit. Amen. They were receiving the word in part, but the plan of redemption didn't lay in no one person. It didn't lay in Moses. It didn't lay in Elijah. It didn't lay in Jeremiah. But it all was part of the age. But then it was all gathered up to get in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That was the grace of God, the Lamb, to take away the sin. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope. Hope is what? Expectation. Think faith in some things. Hope for. What are the things you're hoping for? The promises. The things you're hoping for, the promises you're under expectation for. Earnest expectation of the creature. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that same word revelation in verse 13, the same word in verse 7. Appearing and revelation. Similar apocalypse. Over here it's called the revelation. Over here it's called the appearing. Because why? At the appearing, the revelation is to be brought. Amen? Okay, so that's our scripture reading there for tonight. Just want to kind of speak a little bit about this grace. Because, you know, I've been studying, you know, recently, and I haven't maybe had the time in the services to give out to you what is in my heart. You know, concerning some of the things that I would like to share. But like I struck a vein in the message. And I didn't realize in so many places the prophet kept speaking about Arminianism and Calvinism and the legalists and the fanatics. And the reason why the book of Ephesians is so important, because it ties the whole thing together. Because you see, Christianity, there is two major schools of thought that rules in Christianity. And it comes from the teaching of the scriptures. Some hold to James and some hold to Paul. Some hold to politician grace. And they say, well, it's grace, praise God, everybody's saved. You're predestinated, and people think, well, once they're predestined, well, that's it. And they go overboard. And then some hold to works. And they say, well, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. And if you don't do that, you can't, you have to do this, and you have to do this. And they go overboard in that also. But the book of Ephesians says, by grace are you saved. Through faith, and not of works. And right there in that one verse, Paul begins to place out true grace, true faith, and true works. Amen. Showing not of works, like the Jews are trying to do there. Well, they kept everything clean, spick and span. They don't eat that. They don't do this. They observe that holy day. They wash their hand before they eat. They do this. Now, when Jesus came, some of the greatest things they had about Jesus was the disciples don't wash their hand before they eat. The disciples break the corn the Sabbath day. The disciples don't fast. Look at you. You're eating and drinking with sinners. You're a glutton. And oh, it was constant. And he's trying to tell them, who can condemn you of unbelief? See, he said, look at you, if your donkey fall in a pit on the Sabbath day, will you take it out or not? He said, look, I make a man whole on the Sabbath day, and look, you get in trouble with it. Amen. And it was a battle, because they were trying to prove him a sinner by the law of Moses. Amen. And he was trying to prove to them that he was the Messiah that was promised. Amen. All from Genesis, the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things spoke of him. It still exists today. Because the believer is right in a struggle. Standing there to prove that the word of God is being made flesh in the bride of Jesus Christ. She is the word. She is the word manifested. But people try to take away from her being the bride by saying, you don't do this and you don't do that. And you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this. And they try to bring them the word to make you not the bride. And then people try to make themselves the bride by saying, I do this and I do this, I'm better than that one, I'm better than this one, I do this and I don't do that. And in their eyes, they may seem justified. And the reason that they kind of get settled there is because they are basing on something they read in the Bible. They are based on somebody reading the message. So he said, the word says, you know, don't do this. Well, I ain't do that. So if anybody good, I'm going. But then we find out, as I was reading the scripture for Sunday, the election. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. All that the Father hath given me will come. The only will come is who have been given. Amen. And he said, while the children were not yet born, Romans 9, talking about Esau and Jacob, knowing no evil, no good, God says, Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. That's not for Esau and Jacob. That God, by an example, expressing that there is an elected people. He could have called somebody's name who would be in this congregation right now and said, this one have I loved and that one have I hated. And brought them in the same womb of this church. And he says, if you was living close to that tent, you sure would say, Esau is the real one. Love the daddy. Go out and hunt. Take care of his blind daddy and everything else. And Jacob holding to the mommy's skirt tail, trying to deceive and rob everything you get. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it means to say then, if a person is to have any faith, if a person have any confidence or any assurance that they are considered in the plan of redemption, it can't be basically because they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing the other. They're going to become, by sovereign grace that God has spoken to their heart, God has revealed His word to them. But years ago, I preached a message called The Birthright is the Right Birth. Yeah. And you have to have the right birth. Yeah. And the right birth will prove you have the birthright. Because the right birth would produce the word for that hour. That's why Jesus came and searched the scriptures. See what Messiah is supposed to do. Yeah. Then compare my life. Yeah. See? Yeah. Don't put me down because maybe I have to condemn the Pharisee system. Don't put me because I have to condemn the Sadducees. Don't put me because I call them the father of the devil. Don't say I need a Messiah for that. Because you know, my Messiah is going to be nice and holy and religious. Yeah. He said, but look at the Messiah promises. Yeah. And see if I'm manifesting the Messiah promises. See if that is bearing, if the word for the hour, if my life is being record to it, just the way it's supposed to happen according to the scripture. And since the bride is part of the bridegroom is the word, and he could only identify himself by the word, because he was the word predestinated to the word written for the hour. Because in each age there's a part of the word written for a particular hour. It's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. God have a word for Monday, you have one for Tuesday, you have one for Wednesday, you have one for Thursday. And you have a people who are going to live in Monday and they have to fulfill the part for Monday. Yeah. Then the people in Tuesday, they have a word to fulfill too. Yeah. They can't come and say, I believe we're in Monday and that's nice bride. No. That's a past word. Yeah. They have a word for their time. Yeah. That's why Moses couldn't come and say, let's build an ark and flow down the Nile. Yeah. Don't know say that I was right. Yeah. But it was a different day. And God was doing something different. Yeah. A different promise being fulfilled. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And when that is happening, then you find what takes place with people. You know, they get in a place then that they don't fully understand. And you know, you look for people to release that faith. And you talk with people to feel that faith in their heart. Because if you have eyesight and you can see, and you meet a person who don't have the sense of seeing. After a while, you're going to realize, they don't see you. Yes. Or if you have the sense of hearing, and you stand there, and you know, a dog barking, and a cock crow or something, you say, yeah, man, you hear that dog barking, that cock crow, you know, a dog barking just like that, like something I hear last week, and you look at that cock crow, and they can't hear it. They say, what? Well, they don't have that at all. They don't have sense. Well, the same way a man who has faith, that's sixth sense.
Yeah.
Where even the next man who don't have that sense, he doesn't know that man have faith at all. He will not have knowledge or faith. Now the man may try to quote scriptures to kind of show, well, like, I know what you're talking about, so I quote the scripture to go with that too. Well, I know what you're talking about, so I bring a quote to go with that too. Yeah. You know, to kind of like keeping the conversation. But the faith is not just making a statement of behavior too. Yeah. And you contact by your senses.
Yeah.
See, and that's why it was so great a thing when the Holy Spirit had to take the word and open the word in this age to show us that man is a triune being. And when God is making man, he made the physical body to contact a certain realm and not to contact another realm. Amen. And he gives you five senses, which is see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. So you have them five senses to contact this physical world here that you're going to live in. But then you don't imagine with your body. You don't remember with your body. You don't love with your body. That's another part of your being. You see? So then, here in the human spirit now, there's other senses. Because that another part of you is your spirit. Everybody has a spirit. See? Trinidad spirit. Have American spirit. For now, a Trinidad is like an American. You say, well, if you're a Yankee or something? What are you talking to? Well, it's American spirit. Hey, John, you know, right away, you know, that's strange spirit. It's a different spirit.
Yeah.
See, you see a person, you know, but it's like a vulgar, immoral. You know that's an immoral spirit.
Yeah.
You see a person cultured and refined, you know that refined spirit.
Yeah.
See, now that human spirit is reasoning. You reason with the spirit. See, you imagine with the spirit. I can say, everybody, you know, think of a roundabout plaza. Everybody know roundabout plaza? Right out by the roundabout out there. At the end of 10th Street, right? And I say, and you know the gas station right next to it. Now right now you ain't seen the gas station roundabout plaza. But then you see it, but not with his eyes. So it seems another sense. It's an imagination. Right? I can say, how much know with a German shepherd here? And someone put up their hand, right? And I says, okay, imagine a black German shepherd. See? And see him, you know, fight with a Doberman. And then you know what a Doberman is too. So in your mind, you see two dogs. Okay? Or you may talk about the park out there by 6th Avenue, the Bartai Oval there. And then you imagine, say, okay, imagine a football game going on. And one side playing in red jersey, and one side playing in yellow jersey. And you can imagine, but you don't see with these eyes. Amen. I may even tell you, remember that some of you are. The clothes was wearing before you changed to come service. And you remember it? You remember right where you hang it up home? Exactly. So I asked you, remember if you lock your door before you leave home? And you remember you lock your door? I remember what time you leave home? No, you're not seeing that right now. That's already in the past. That's history.
Yeah.
That's already taken. You can't relive that. That's gone. That's in the past. Because this morning, that was future. You know I was going to leave home to come service.
Amen.
But then when the evening reached, and times I get ready to be in the bed and change the clothes and get your Bible and everything, get ready to come out of the house, you know, then it was being fulfilled.
Amen.
But now you're in service, it's in the past.
Amen.
But all the air in your memory and your imagination could contact those things. It's a part of you. And your emotion. And you can remember certainly, I get very emotional about it. You know, sometimes you may read a book. While you're reading the book, you begin to cry. Remember, you read a certain message or you listen to a certain tape, a life story, the prophet, and you're listening to tape and crying. And, you know, you're having a time. And then, you know, sometimes you remember a joke that somebody said. And you start to laugh. I said, what are you laughing at? Nobody talking to you. But in the memory,
yeah,
it just pick it back up from your subconscious mind. And emotion in the present tense, you get emotional about it.
Yeah.
Though it's something in the past. It influences your behavior. Then there's a part of your conscience. Man, that gives a lot of trouble. You can feel guilty about a lot of things. See? And when you're not convicted, if you're not conscious, you can get conviction. How God convict you? God will deal with that conscience and convict you. And so God, I'm sorry for that. See? And then you get emotional about it. You mean to cry, Lord, I will let up again. And you repent for it. See? Amen. So the thing is that conscience is a part of you too. Amen. See, I'm reasoning. But if you don't have these senses, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. If you, you don't have memory. You could put your hand in fire and get burned every time and forget fire is burned. Because you have no memory to remember fire is burned. If you're going home and you ain't know the road, you can't remember the road. You have no memory. But you may never even reach home sometimes. You may not even remember what date of service, may hear the word. I ain't remember nothing about the word. So God put it part of your makeup. See? But then apart from all those things, they're part of you still. Which is the soul now. Not the body, not the spirit. Not your see, taste, hear, smell. Not your reason, conscience, memory, affection, imagination. Not that. But the soul. Faith or unbelief. Faith or unbelief. And if that soul is not born again, for your new birth don't come from your spirit. And your new birth don't come from your body. Your first birth is your body. That's your natural birth. You're born from your mother's womb. Like when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, what do you mean? Go back to the mother's woman born over? Because he was only conscious of one birth. But Jesus had the revelation of another birth. Because he was talking to the inner man. He was talking to the flesh man, Nicodemus. But the flesh man was hearing it. And the reason, the human spirit was trying to figure out what he was talking about. But he wasn't getting the revelation, the soul. No, the problem in Christianity is right there. Yeah. Half of the people right in the spirit, yeah, they think they get what you're talking about. They think they're serving God. But they're only in that spirit realm. It's reasonable to them. They try to fight with reasoning and imagination, and there's no faith from the soul to deal with it. Because faith will handle it. Yeah. But the condition is only showing where they're really living. When that condition comes in, find in the humanistic realm. They see it and they say, oh God, without hope, it disappear. The spirit begins to reason, I wonder what to do. I am frustrated. What to do? Like a brother was testifying to me the other day. He reached up to a point of frustration back in the world. Brother went to push back, went to do this, went to do the other, buried 25 cents to get work, all kinds of fun things. See, now when you think of the senses, Satan could get them senses and send you crazy almost. Now, you think of the power of the testimony of an eyewitness. Man has lost their life because the testimony of an eyewitness. A man said, I was there, I saw the man, described the man to a T. All right? Now, if you walk into the service tonight, ain't nobody in the morning going to tell you that I wasn't here. And I was in the service. You say, I saw the man. I heard the man. I tell you what clothes the man was wearing. I described the man for you. Show me a picture of the man and identify the man right away. They can't remove from me because you believe what the senses declare. If you drink hot tea and it burns your tongue, nobody can tell you it's cold. Nobody can make you believe it's cold. Because your senses declare. Well, why people have made people they believe one thing and then they change their belief? You know why? The senses never declare the beginning. The sense of faith has never declared to be the truth. It has never contact with that faith sense. Lord, that's why the apostles could get a life in the revelation. It's so it contacted. Many of them in that age, they didn't even when Jesus was there. Don't you get a life in martyrdom? 68 million. They didn't see the physical Jesus. In the world, preach to them. Yeah. Yet you could bring this body to be pulled out, its objection to be pulled apart. Yet that soul in there will let the body go through that pain. Then change the confession. Amen. Yet today people even go through no pain, nothing. And they change the confession like that. It shows, it didn't touch the soul yet. They're in the realm of imagination. Superficial Christianity. Not real. That's not the Bible talking about. That's not the book is revealing here. Book revealing something else beyond that. A world where Jesus will live in. Hallelujah. A world where you have a power to master every circumstance. Where you have revelation to deal with every situation. Where nothing frustrates you. Amen. A world where you can recognize every spirit behind everything. It's a world. That's what the word does for you as a believer. That's where you, when you, as you begin to feed on the word and grow in the word, it puts you there. Man who can't think you're making yourself something. But you watch a believer. A believer is the faith of God that moves inside of you. Amen. A real Bible believer who know the position in the word. Who know what God says about them. Amen. That soul inside of you. Unless God don't get a hold of that man. All the person could reach is reformation. They may try to change their life. But I think I was going to go to church. No, I think we'll use a Bible now. Let me see. Maybe I'll kind of clean up my outward self a little bit. Maybe that might get me to the door. Let me try something else. It don't work that way. No. See. No, you contact by your senses because your body. That first birth, which is your physical birth, you're born from that womb, the womb of your mother. And you come out into this world. This is a world you come out because the only world you know was your mother's womb. Yeah. Like a chicken and an egg. The only world the chicken knows is the egg. But then a season comes where it tips out of that shell. Yeah. And when it really born and bursts through that shell, it's a whole big world out here. Yeah. It's in house and yard and motor car and van and people and you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But hey, that world's gonna be bigger than your egg that you was living inside of. Yeah. See, like a baby in a mother's womb. The only world the baby knows is the mother's womb. Yeah. And once it's born out of the air, when the tank is born out of the air, then that baby can't go back in the womb to live. You think you push a baby back up in a mother's womb after it come out? No. You think after a chicken burst through an egg, you can take it and push it back in the egg and tape it up and let it live inside there afterwards? No. Well, so it is when a believer is born again. Born of this world. Amen. Into that unseen realm. There's no way you can pull back here and control and govern by these natural things. No way. Because you're breaking the fact, you're breaking into the realm of the powers that have controlled this world. The thing that influenced this world and everything in this world, that way you break into that realm and you see what has governed everything. So you're not dealing with the matter and the object of the thing, you're dealing with the spirit and the influence of the thing now. Amen! That part, we walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We look at the temporal things, but we look to the unseen things. Let me say that the realm Adam was living in the Garden of Eden. That when God gave him dominion, it's there God gave him dominion. God didn't give the flesh man dominion. God gave his spirit son dominion. Amen. But you see, when Eve get deceived and they drop down into the physical realm, the humanistic realm, because she wanted to walk by sight. Satan began to bring something in from the physical realm for her. that she wanted. Because she really wasn't supposed to be living there. And when they dropped out of that sixth sense, and they dropped down into the humanistic realm. Because see, you take a dog that see, a dog that smell, a dog that hear, a dog that feel, a dog that taste. Exactly. Dog have all them senses too. Just like a physical body. But dog can't imagine. Dog, see? Dog have a soul to believe. You see? So God, that soul in you is the difference. Amen. That dog spirit better could take a lot of training too. Yeah. And do a lot of things. Yeah. You could shoot that dog and train that dog. Until that dog that outwit human being and all. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you see, the soul. Now man and God and man, God give them man, not a dog alone. Over every beast of the field, he had dominion over. Because man was the God over them things. And that's the place God was coming to bring man back up into that world. That's here. Yeah. Is it not where they wanted to go to heaven, you know? Yeah. Jesus, the heaven is right here. Yeah. It's in another realm. It's another dimension. But faith gonna get you in that dimension. Yeah. You want your body to be changed?
He said, wrapped in faith to change that.
Yeah. Wrapped in faith to put you in that dimension. Yeah. Amen. God never loses the power. He said, the power is here. But the faith to charge it. So when God come to Abraham, God started to deal with a man. God started to unfold the mystery of how he was going to get man back there. The Bible says, you walking in the steps of the faith of your father Abraham. Walking in the steps of that faith. It's a faith that's been revealed in his life. Remember, Jesus, the last Adam, is Abraham's faith son. Who manifests the dominion? That is Abraham's faith son. By his faith. And you become Abraham's seed with the same kind of faith. Are people who have that sense, they have that potential. But what's something? You know what brings our faith? This is what I'm trying to show you. This is the faith side of it. This is the effect, but the cause of it. And the cause side is grace. The grace of God. Then God been revealed to him. You see? That is because faith has to have something to be based upon. It must be based upon something. That soul, which is part of the word, that is the part that comes predestined from God. When God is electing, that soul in you was in God's thinking, that God's mind is his loins. Like a natural man here. His children is in his loins, his seed. He's walking over the sea, but he got fellowship with them. They're inside of him. But through holy wedlock, when he comes together with his wife, she's the bed and ground. She received the seed. Then the seed have a place to grow. Find that fertile egg. And then what begins to happen? Cell upon cell begin to take place. But out of that million sperm is election of God. Is God to say which sperm will unite with which egg? So even the natural birth is election. Showing whether you're going to come tall, whether you're going to come fat, whether you're going to have blue eyes, whether you have brown hair, whether you have black hair. Well, then the spiritual election show whether you have faith, whether you have virtue, whether you have knowledge. In the spiritual election show you have those things. Because that in that seed. And God know what age he was going to put you in. And you know the challenge that age, I knew which seed to bring you the characteristic to manifest the word for the age. Amen. So the believer, I pause him. He said, this grace was given us before the foundation of the world. Now, I say, Sunday, you had no choice whether you're going to be a man or a woman.
You have no choice whether you want to go on a certain race. You have no choice whether you want to have blue eyes or brown eyes or black eyes. You have no choice whether you want to be born a certain age or a certain family or a certain country.
Yeah.
You have no choice in that. God ordained those things that way. He determined that way.
Yeah.
You accept that. You come that way. Well, the same way, God in his word has fixed out all these things before the foundation of the world. It was already settled in the mind of God because he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what you are going to be here. You see? And that is why you find these things, it comes down so simple, right down in your home life. Then you don't have to go to that theology school to learn that. You can see it in your own home life. You can see it in your own environment. See, you're born in this world and you're born with those senses. They come by birth. If you wasn't born, you couldn't have them senses. It's the birth that brings those senses. Your physical birth brings physical senses. Then your spiritual birth brings that spiritual sense too. You're going to do it. You see, it's not a super duper faith going to kind of go in the rapture. No. Don't anybody put that down your mind and talk, it never happened. That's not God's pattern. Abraham, what the steps of the faith of Abraham? Look where God passed. He had to meet El Shaddai.
Yeah.
He had to meet El Elyon.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good.
He had to meet Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
He had to meet Elohim.
Yeah.
God had to. He had to be one room had to come in Mamre, one had to come in Mesopotamia, one had to come in Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
Amen. In different places, God revealed himself in different ways,
yeah.
Different experiences to bring the believer to that place.
Yeah.
Nurturing up in that faith.
Yeah.
So that is nothing strange to be happening. But you find out, God.
I thank the
Most High. I thank the greater everybody. Look what happened to me. I know what happened to me at all. God fixed that to reveal himself more again.
Goodness.
Have to have that.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that him that will, him that runneth? Is God that showed mercy?
Yeah.
Amen. Satan is the only some stuff on the side of the road that God has used to bring his children crying, Abba Father. He says Satan not even the rich to begin with.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
He's not even the rest to begin with!
Yeah.
Because the works of God is finished before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Amen!
Yeah.
So the real believer, brother who is walking in the world, who is coming right down and begin to see God going to unfold himself, reveal himself to them in their walk.
Yeah.
Like Ephesians 2 says, we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. And we are, how we have been conformed to this image through our walk.
Yeah.
Amen. See, he knows exactly where he's going to pass us.
Yeah.
He knows exactly where we're going to be at a certain time. He knows exactly the circumstances that are going to confront us there. Amen.
Exactly.
Bringing us to that place that we can live in that super sense.
Yeah.
And this is your hour. There will be some people who will live, walk, but their whole life will be in that super sense.
Yeah.
They have all these other senses. Like the prophet say, he said, no, that gift will never leave me. I'll always have that gift.
Yeah.
But I'm living up here now under this anointing. This other one here. He said, then in the third pool, he will stand up and he said, okay, the show is still here. Just a second. See that vibration of my hand here, sensor? He says, no, you're suffering, sensor. See? And then he's going to the next gift. He says, no, your name is so-and-so. Right? Exactly.
Amen.
Like the first pole, they learned that thing. Right? He said, you have a sis. The third pole spoke about against sister. Exactly.
Amen.
But he was living up here now. And the same with us.
Yeah.
You see, but only in a different way.
Yeah.
You see, I was on tape the other night, Barama speaking about spiritual things. He's talking about men inspired and how they come out with inspiration, different things. He said, you have all these Pentecostals, like bubble dancing and rolling the floor and making noise and kind of thing. He said, they talk about spirit, but they don't know what spirit is. They don't know any depth of what spirit is. They think spirit is bubble dancing. You see? He said, because one woman's right there saying, Brother Bram, you had the ministry of the hour. You know, not telling what God can do. You know, God sent you out there. And, you know, you're so lazy to pray for God's sick, suffering children that God will raise up all robots to them to pray for them. He said, I'll pray for 500, you don't get to five in one night. So he said, you don't understand. And then he began to go in now. He says, look, like we have a brother called Vern Gardner. He says, there's a young babe in Christ. He likes to reach up by faith, you know, every faith like positive like and kind of praise God, he's here, he can heal now. And he's just a babe, that's the way you know he tried to kind of go out with positive thinking and try to walk the people into that light. He says he's just a babe in Christ. Now a man would say, that was a powerful boy. That ain't powerful, you're a babe in Christ. You know the laws yet. Thinking a bulldozer, just you bulldoze anything down. He said, all they'll do, meet an epileptic now, one of them demons there, you gotta find out the cause of the effect now. Right, you'll find where you're at. See? And then he began to speak and show them, he said, look at Jonah. Had so much power, went forth there and preached. Repent or perish. Within 4 days, God destroyed his whole nation. In the book of Jonah. And after he preached a great mighty message, but the whole city begin to repent. They had sackcloth and ashes on their donkeys, on their cows, everything. The mess was so powerful. Even they had the donkey, everybody repented, everything. He said, then he had a prophecy on the mountain now. No inspiration. He sit down there. He's kind of fussed with the eye God. He said, Lord, why don't take my life? Why don't kill me, see? Because the inspiration left him. You're sitting right under that tree, the God with the leaf, and then God create the woman, the woman eat it down to show him, to even teach the prophet and show what kind of spirit he was in. He said, look at Elijah, called fire and rain out of the sky in the same day, and then run for his life from a woman under the tree in the cry. Same man who just chopped up 400 false prophets' head at the book Kidron, who run from one woman, Jezebel, and said, God, take my life. See, he's looking at John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God! You snakes and vipers, all of these different things. And then he said, go and ask Jesus if he's the man. Or should we look for the next Messiah to come? Yeah. The inspiration left him. Yeah. 1 minute he's anointed, the next minute the inspiration have left him. See? Talk about William Cowper, the man who wrote the song, there's a fountain full of blood drawn from Emmanuel veins. Same man went and committed suicide in the river afterwards, when the inspiration left him. See? Stephen Foster, different ones. Because why? When the Holy Spirit lift up in that realm and they break in there and begin to see those things, see? And then they drop back out it, they become miserable. Yes. And many of we see great things happen and we know like that comes by the Holy Spirit. Yes. You can't hold it and bring that. No, sir. You see? Now I see the prophet in Israel, what he has of Elijah. He was on the juniper tree too.
Yeah.
He was in a place where all man was taking this crying, this frustrated, and God had come. He said, everything God had to get me to do, he had to almost push me to do it. He said, once I do that, it's not really faith, and faith not connected with it. You see? So that life, as you begin to walk, and God begin to take you through different places, sometimes if you don't have a revelation, you do that, like God leave me now, maybe I ask son of God again, maybe this and that, and you can get all negative. You see? But it's not so, because you want to live there all the time. You see, faith is not, your faith is a revelation. It's not just a feeling, you know. You see, this is where people lose their healing. Oh, they kind of feel it right now, next minute they have that feeling. So they feel they don't have it no more. Because why? They're going by a feeling they call in faith. Yeah. They go by some feeling they call the anointing. Isn't that? Yeah. Look at Brother Ram says the greatest realms of the supernatural I've ever worked in. Greatest anointing having on the little seals. You hear this? We listen to the seals right now. You're almost stammering, starting and talking. You got the greatest anointing? You put on your little message, people shouting and screaming and like a powerful message. You will see that's a great anointing if you judge anointing by noise. Yeah. But that's the revealing of truth. Yeah. That's the opening of the word. Yeah. You see, not knowing the spirit. You see, not knowing the spirit. God, the spirit is himself. Yeah. Spirit is not a sensation. The spirit is that person. Who's revealing himself through his word. To bring you into a relationship with him. That you become his spirit son. See, his spirit daughter. Walking here in a flesh body. See, as I said, not a body with a spirit in it. It's the spirit son of the spirit God in a flesh body. Because you was in the loins of God. It's like your children's in your loins. God's loins is his mind. That's where his thoughts are. And he spoke his thought and become expressed. For your mother and father couldn't produce a body. They can't produce a soul. And your body only see taste, hear, smell and touch. For your father have a sperm and your mother have an egg. And in holy word, that produce a body, a little baby, but that's only muscles. Yeah. See? That's not a living soul yet. When that's born from the mother womb and the life comes into that, then it becomes a living soul. Amen. But outside of that is only muscle, because it's feeding off of the mother. It's connected by the umbilical cord, the navel string, inside of there. And it's feeding off of what the mother eating. See? So, if a person is really quickened, if that soul is not really quickened, then a man is like, he's living here, but not conscious of the next world, because you have no sense to contact it. In other words, you take a blind man. You put a blind man here. He's a blind man, physically blind, in service tonight. And he comes in. Now, he will sit down here and hear every word I'm saying. And he may, in his imagination, try to imagine, maybe he's a big person, so I'll be in the public talking. Maybe he's a strong-looking person, he's a short person. Maybe he may try to imagine what I look like. If he's blind from birth, somebody will tell him a rainbow. But he knows what a rainbow is. They tell him, well, they are thinking the sky with different colors, but he don't know what colors is. He never see colors yet. See? They may try to tell him about a flower, a different thing, a rose, and a zinnia, or a rose and an orchid. He don't know what it is. He may smell it, but it sure smell nice. It feel very tender. It have a nice feeling about it, but I can't see it. He may try to draw conception to imagination by feeling it and smelling it. But you wouldn't know what it is because you don't have the sense to contact it. Because you're contacted by your senses. And the same way with faith, if a man don't have faith, he cannot contact God at all. When he hear the word preach about God, when he hear things talk about God, he's trying to imagine. He want me to call him devil God in his life. When we call him imagination God, when we call somebody influence God, when we call him this God, you don't know God at all. Because he's in a world of imagination, because you can only contact God by faith. Amen. That was the sense given you to contact God. Yeah. See? If Abraham was looking for God, one minute he'd come in a light. Next minute, God comes as a theophany and a king. The king of Salem. Next minute, God comes in a man, dust in the clothes. I mean, you get confused all the time. If one minute comes in a world, next minute comes in a dove, next minute comes in a light, next minute comes in a cloud. You can think of different people. But a revelation, you can know the same person changing form. See, so it puts you in a different realm. See? You see, faith is really, when you really get to talking about what faith is, and you realize many people, you know, they think they have faith. Oh, everybody have a mental faith, sure. They have mental faith, but you see, the gates of hell will prevail against that. But it's upon this work I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. When that becomes a spiritual revelation now. By faith, Abel. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Moses. All through Hebrews 11, by faith. Something has been revealed to them. Not contacting the flesh, but something getting down to the soul on the inside of the inside. Where the real you is. And that's where God is dealing with that sense. That's the man God is dealing with in this hour. That's the man who is going to the rapture. Yeah. This is that man is going to rapture. This is the soul right here. Wait, about the soul. Is this what you're talking about? But this is your body. Your body sees, smell, and touch. Your spirit is reason, conscience, memory, imagination, but this is faith, virtue, knowledge, this is something else. This is your soul. This is soul growing up into the word image. See? Transforming itself. Everything is in that seed already. But you just need to be quickened, to be awakened. And just like that man when his eyes was open and he began to see, he began to contact a world that was there that he imagined was there. And maybe when his eyes open, he said, wait now, you know how you can see a motor car when I was blind? And he began a description of a train or something. And, you know, he when I'm somebody like a kite flying, he can imagine what a kite flying is at all. He may ask, what is the destination? You know, how about flights a day or something? He wouldn't know, it's another world. And so it is when the word strikes people, they have to change so much concepts. To realize that the imaginary world and the imaginary God and the religious spirit and the religious approach to so much things, all that have to change completely. When they come to the word. When the word unfolds himself. That's why this day, you could imagine when the word came in this day, every denomination was wrong. Yeah. Millions of Christians was really deceived. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was all wrong. Yeah. Well, it couldn't be said. Wasn't the revelation. Because they didn't even know Jesus Christ was the angel of the covenant. They didn't know he was in the form of pillar of fire. Yet it was in the Bible. Yes. When Paul saw a light, I said, who art thou, Lord? I said, I am Jesus. Amen. Yet it's in the Bible. And when that light comes, they couldn't actually know Jesus. They wanted the Hoffman had to come with a beard and a robe and something, nail scars on their hands. I said, don't look for that. You see? And this is exactly where you see the trouble is today. That real substance faith down in the heart of a believer that knows that these things are present, that the Lord is present. And the works of faith express, the prophet says, let that faith fall in their heart tonight that Jesus Christ is here catching his church away. He's talking about Abraham receiving faith in his heart. He's talking about different ones receiving faith. Faith finds burning ground. But what he's really talking about, the faith for this hour, was a revelation that the Lord is here and the rapture is going on. He said, let them catch that faith. Amen. See, that, because that is the way he was revealing himself in this day. He had come down to pull his church out. Time is up. Let's all stand. And you see, it's so hard. Because if people would know by revelation he's here, they would recognize his presence. Amen. They would recognize the word when it's coming forth. They will know when he's on the scene. They will know when he's breaking that word right there before them. Amen. See, then if they know he's there, then no matter what forms he is in, then faith can reach out and get what he wants. Remember, God even had to give the prophet a vision to show him. He says, Jesus, when he was here on the earth, in that corporal body, when the people looked, they saw a man. It took genuine revelation to know that was God there. Because the Greeks come, they see nothing about no God there. They see a village man. We traveled from all the way, Athens, camp here, you know, had to overnight to my dance. Finally reached, we want to see this great mighty God who performed his miracles. If we're going to show you a man, a tired old village man, like 50 years old, only about 30. And he pointed him to the cross, except a corner, 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 and died to bide alone. To really see him. But what are we looking for? How are we going to recognize him? How do we know when he's present? How is he supposed to reveal himself in this hour? What is the identification? How will we recognize his voice? What will he be speaking in this hour? To know him, to discern him in his body. Because remember, the bride is his body. And here we come to the Bible say, discerning the body of the Lord. That was his body one time. But not right in this hour, not in this hour. He has another body. Amen.
And so we have to discern that body to know him. In his body, you have to discern that same life again. In the body. To recognize he. And let me tell you what really strikes your heart. And by the word is quickened to you. You see God keeping his promise. You know, here a message being preached. You know? He died with how many people? We are told the seven sins open. And some of us accept it. Some of our revelations are open. But denominations, millions of Christians, billions of Christians, as far as they're concerned, that was not no sins open. That man was not no prophet. Exactly. You know why? Because when they look, they see a man. When they look, they just hear some more message preached. My pastor preaching and my preacher is different. Why do you believe that that means that? That's what I hear. Now, Peter is saying here, the grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a promise in the Bible. When he comes up here in the last days, you see, he has appeared. All these things have been the identification of his appearing. But he's not going to come and say, that ball of fire, they're going to come and say, all of you children, the ball of fire is going to like, he said that he's going to speak to us. I'm going to listen to the ball of fire talk. No. He do that to let you know he's here, and then he veils himself. Amen. Then you know my word. Then when his word begins to speak, you have to know, man, win the promise. It's John speakable. It's happening. It's been revealed. It's changing me. I'm going up. Something is happening to you. You can recognize the promise coming to pass.
Yeah.
That man walk over there after this is preacher final long, walk over there, like that, some of it. While you go inside, come back inside, sit down. Better tell me that. Who is there? Why? Because you don't think you don't take a space in a, of a bench to be in a church. When Jesus was sitting right there, you think everybody had believed that Jesus right there? Many a man got curious to hear a meeting. Hear what's going on. Some men who had representation, the word struck something in the heart. Yeah. When the word touched that, they say, man, I never heard that way. Yeah. It does something to me. It answers my unanswered questions. It puts things together.
Yeah.
Light begin to shine. You begin to see something in the next realm.
Yeah.
Because down in their heart, down in their soul, they was craving for that kind of understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had heard my word. He had understood my word. See, and believe in him that sent me will not come into condemnation, will pass from death unto life.
Amen.
Right in the service, pass from death unto life.
Amen.
See, so simple. So simple. Amen. My, we just get talking about these things and we can't finish, eh? But he's so good, you know, you see, he's an awful reality. It's not all for much church services, you know. They ought to be in contact with reality to know it is here. It is happening. See? When you walk out here with substance feet, I tell you, you watch and see God answer them prayers. Amen. Let's sing a little song. We change the atmosphere a little bit. Get ready to come to this table. Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Out of all the places in the Bible, only one place he says, remember me. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He said, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Not so much we are here tonight, but we are here to remember him. This time, you want to think about him. Talk about his grace. That makes you, that makes a difference between you and another person. Another person may come out there and say, I wish I was had the features of that person. That person real handsome. That's look real pretty. That, I wish I was like that person physically. They may not even have a shadow of the faith you have.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Makes a difference between you. You have something that is eternal inside of you. A sense to contact God that brings God real and personalized to you. Something that the grace of God, the election put inside of you. Amen. Let's just think on him tonight, that this great grace that was given unto us in Christ before the world even began. As many as were ordained to eternal life, the Bible said, believe. Not as many as believe receive eternal life, you know. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. They had something in them. He didn't have an ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit said. My sheep will hear my voice. You have not chosen, but I have chosen you. See? Those who foreknew, they may predestine it. Those who predestine, they may call. Those who call, they may justify. Those who justify, they are already glorified. He knew you. And he has come in this day to call you by his word. And he put something in your heart to believe and respond to it. And say, Father, I hear your voice calling me. That is nothing but the truth. I believe it. I receive it, Lord. Amen. I hear the Savior say tonight, the Savior sees. Thy strength indeed is small. Strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Child of weakness. And pray, oh, find in me thine all in all tonight. Find in me. You ask him for that kind of faith. Say, Lord, increase my faith tonight. To know he's already settled, Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. All to him I owe. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? All condemnation taken away. Oh, he washed with that bleach of his blood. Lord, now indeed I find, that's my confession. Lord, now indeed I find. Oh, thy power and thine alone. Thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots. And change the leper's spots. And melt the heart of stone. And melt the heart of soul. Oh, Jesus paid it all tonight. Why don't you receive it, sinner friend? Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. All that unbelief. That old nature. Oh, but he washed it tonight. He can wash away yours too. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, it's not going to be our work, since nothing good have I, nothing that I can do, nothing you can do. Just receive it tonight.
Thank God, Abba, whereby thy grace to claim. Oh, just as you are, believe it and receive it. Oh, please, I'll wash my garments white. I'll take that opportunity tonight. Oh, I'm going to come to that fountain. Oh, I want that love. I want what God is talking about in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. I want to have that kind of faith to live where a real son of God is supposed to live. Oh, to walk with the King. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe, him alone, no one else. Oh, look to him and live tonight. Receive his grace and mercy. Sin and left a crimson stain. Washed it white as snow. Oh yes, I'm a child of a King. Oh yes. Oh, you're free, you're new, you're clean. Your sin been washed away. I'm a child. A new realization. Now his royal blood that washed me now flows to my veins. Now see the unseen. We can now see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm a child of the...
Oh, lift your hands, sing it to him. The King of Kings. Tonight. Grace given unto us before the world began. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Such love that God can love sinners such as us. How wonderful is love like this. More we talk about it, more we realize it, more we're reminded of it. Oh, and the Holy Spirit coming behind to give witness of it. How it ought to encourage us to believe. Hold to God's unchanging and take a hold of his word in all our hearts. Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Oh, before we change the order of the service to the Lord's Supper, I just want to give the strangers the opportunity, maybe some of them
you know, would not have the time to stay back, to sit for the remaining portion of the service. So this time, if anyone would want to leave, you'd be free to leave quietly, because we're changing now to go and have the Lord's Supper, breaking of bread and washing of feet. Before we dismiss, if anyone want to receive him, want to accept him tonight, the Bible says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I'll give unto you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart.